Welcome to all our family members. Thanks for coming back. We're live again. Been dealing with a few distractions over the last few weeks and glad to be back actually in real time live and with Dr. Gabriel Cousins. And we were talking before the show. I'm joining you audio today, but he'll be live on video with dance and meditation and discussion, and I'll be joining in. And we were talking before we went live. What should we talk about? And Gabriel had a really good idea. He was brought up the fact that he had been advising grandchildren, a particular grandchild who was about to go off to college, and brought up the idea that there's a lot of distress and higher suicide rates among young girls and people not knowing how to deal with the insanity in the world, which is really understandable given the situation that we're. And so we're going to talk about what that advice might be, and you can see how it relates to your own life. I think it'll be really relevant. So we'll start in the usual fashion and welcome Dr. Cousins. Thanks for being here, and I'm grateful to join you today.
Thanks, Richard. Your picture's looking good.
Thank you. It's in good shape.
So, I greet you all with love, and I also want to thank Doug for getting the program together, and it's good that our team's all together here. And what I am going to talk about is a really important topic, and there's a few teenage girls I kind of work with in different ways, mostly at far distance. But one of the most important things is, in a sense, bridging into serious healthy relationships and what that means and how to have a successful relationship. Okay, and that's key. So that's what I'm going to talk about because it really applies to everyone, but maybe more a little bit to teenage girls. Two 17-year-old girls I'm looking at, right? I'm going to share some of these ideas with, but really, it's something that I used to work with teenagers. Teen groups in Petaluma, California. We had a teen center, and also in Boston, we also had a teen center. And it's just really important that we have some grounded understanding of relationship, so that's what I'm kind of focusing on as key components. But first, what I like to do is we'll do a little dance to get the energy going, then a little meditation. For meditation, which for those who don't have a meditation technique, we can repeat this name of God, Yod and in-breath, Hey and out-breath, Wah and in-breath, Hey and out-breath. Yod from the base to the heart, Hey out to the heart, Wah from the base to the third eye, Hey out to the heart. And you just keep repeating it until your mind's quiet. That's it. Done. And then you're in meditation. So, but it's always good to dance, get the spiritual joy going, which is kind of the bridge into, from the nothing into the something, to be able to have that spiritual joy that connects. So that's how we're starting. Now, we're going to do a little dance, and I encourage you to dance with me. We're going to go for about 3 minutes. Here we go. And just feel that spiritual joy. Thank you. Okay. Just focus on my eyes as we go into meditation for a few minutes. Here we go. And now into meditation. Okay, slowly come out of meditation. And so, as I said, the context is actually, I'm a grandfather. I got three teenage granddaughters, and there's a few other daughters out there and granddaughters out there who are in their teens, who in a very confusing world, where girls being, to me, a lot more sensitive to boys, and we do have data, you know, of emotional imbalance in, for boys and girls, but it's hard being a teenager today. That's kind of what we can look at. And one of the things that makes it hard is relationship, real relationships, not a sexual overnight, one-night thing. It's not like that. I'm talking about meaningful relationships as a teenager. That may be a strange concept for people, but it really isn't. And it's really important that we talk some of the principles of what this is about. And one of the very first principles of what this is about is be true to yourself. Be who you are. One of the biggest mistakes people make in relationship is to be create the illusion of being someone else to meet some Hollywood fantasy or some whatever fantasy that goes on about what a girl's supposed to be and what a girl's supposed to look like. And it's like, no, be yourself. However that is for you, it's important that you be your authentic self. So why is that important? Well, first, it's good for your health, good for your mental, physical, emotional health, but more important, or equally important, is that when you're yourself, you actually attract people, and I'm going to say in this world today, a boy or a girl, you know, who also resonates with your authentic self. That's a foundation for relationship. And what happens, and this is not new to teenagers today, is that people try to be who they aren't, and then they spend time trying to keep creating that show. And it's never really productive. So be as authentic as you can in a good way so that people can resonate with you from their authentic place. That's a foundation for relationship, but I'm going to say in a really, really important way. Be yourself. Another foundation for relationship is connect with someone who has similar lifestyle and beliefs, because fighting about all those things all the time isn't so good. You know, it wears you out. So if you have kind of basics of understanding, it makes it a lot easier to have a relationship. Now, those are kind of overall basics. Now let's talk a little bit about mature love. And one thing about mature love is it brings personal dignity. There's something very, let's say, important to having authentic love. You're being your real self. You're encouraging the other person to be their real self, not a pretend self that they want you to like because they don't believe in their own real true self. Be your authentic self. And it creates a sense of personal dignity, a personal sovereignty, okay? In a way, an ability, because your love and your relationship being authentic, and that's a very noble thing. You're not trying to be anything but being your authentic self. So that's a part of it. And part of that, and as a teenager, it's not so easy, but it is, but that's okay too, is that kind of knowing one's place in the cosmos, so to speak, and a life purpose. Now, that life purpose changes with age. You know, your life purpose when you're 8 or, you know, in high school or in college is partly to be a student, to learn. You go older, you have other responsibilities. So life purpose is going to change, although we always have one big life purpose, which is to know the self and ultimately to know God. Now, of course, I'm telling you what your life purpose is, and that's tricky too. But generally speaking, for all peoples, even though in our society that's not considered a life purpose anymore as a primary one, it's still fairly primary. Deep, deep down, it's still primary. Know yourself and make that internal connection with the truth of who you are, which also helps you connect to the outer who you are, the outer God experience. So, and it's hard always to, you know, to know your mission. Some of us know our missions at very early age. Some people, the mission's really unclear, and your mission is to know, is to figure out what your mission is. That's fair enough. And in our society, it's harder and harder to kind of really get a grasp of it, even as a teenager, okay, because of the way the society's set up. But still, be open to exploring that, those potentials, okay? Now let's talk about love here. Now, love's a real feeling. It's not infatuation. Love is a heart, soul, physical, emotional, mental connection with another person in a way that enlivens you and enlivens them. Now, when one is not really being the real self, or the love relationship is debilitating, that you're feeling worse for it. You like it, you're infatuated, you're feeling it, but somehow on another level, it's not so good for you. And I'm going to just say, even though I'm talking about teenagers, this is true with adults. This is true with everybody. One of these principles fits for everyone. So it shouldn't really be for teenagers, but that's how I got started on this, thinking about my own granddaughter, three granddaughters really, but who are all teenagers. So it can't be debilitating. If you're worse from it, if it's causing upset and depression and anxiety, well, that's something you have to consider, whether that's something you want. And in a relationship, and this goes back to the first thing, be your true self, there has to be what I call personal sovereignty. What does that mean? You still maintain your integrity. So the idea in relationship is that you're an individual, they're an individual, and you come together, and there's a merging of the two. But and the merging at different times, but then also when you come apart, you're still your personal integrity. You're not like this, okay? You're like that. You have boundaries. You have clarity. You know who you are. You don't lose yourself in someone else. That ultimately isn't healthy, except for special moments where where you're connecting. So there has to be that sovereignty, often in relationships, and it's a little bit more true with girls than boys. It's easier to lose yourself because society is wanting the girl to fit in some way, more pressure than for the boy. But truly it happens to boys and girls, young man, young woman, older men, older women, the issues are somewhat the sense. And in it is not a sense of constriction, but a sense of freedom. Think about that. Does your love make you feel free, or does it make you feel bound? If your love is making you feel bound, you need to look at it, because the nature of relationship is to bring out independence, is to bring out freedom, is to bring out that sense of self, not to lose that sense of self, which is very common. You know, I've been working as a psychiatrist, family therapist, couple therapist, holistic physician for greater than 50 years. So these are issues I'm talking about repeatedly of what makes a relationship work or doesn't. And when you lose yourself in relationship, it undermines your personal sovereignty and your spiritual, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual growth. So it's really important that there's a sense of freedom within the subtleties of relationship. Okay? And also, in another way, I'm going to say dominion over the forces that, how do I put it, detract you from really being fully loving. You know, you may feel, oh, I just need to be taken care of, or I just need to take care of, or just a variety of things. Now, one thing that's important, and isn't, again, just with teenagers, is to kind of hold off on sexuality until you get to know the person. Because once one gets involved sexually, it's harder for the other components to develop because the sex becomes more powerful than the personality and development and connection in the relationship. And that's really hard to do in today's norms. But it's really, really, really important to keep that sexual energy in check. I mean, it's important that connection's there, but in check so you can actually get to know the person and don't get caught in the sexual energy, which can tend to overwhelm everything. That's very, very common. And the love, and I've been hinting at that, a love that detracts from your spiritual growth is antithetical to true love. So it needs to be something that helps you grow spiritually, okay? Helps you kind of mature as a person. So these are all really, you know, what I consider very important elements in a mature, loving relationship. And it has a physical quality and emotional and mental and spiritual. So one needs to connect at all four planes. You know, the spiritual plane is very important. Then we have the mental plane. There needs to be an intellectual connection, you know, in many ways. And then an emotional resonance. And then the physical connection, all of them really need to be there for a kind of complete relationship. So this is kind of the kind of an overview of the fundamentals of building a healthy, loving, and I'm going to say romantic. Now, what I mean by romantic, I mean romantic. I mean that it's not romantic for a year or two. It's romantic for all the time. Now, I'm kind of speaking for experience. And, you know, my relationship is, you know, 25 years, and it gets more romantic. How does that happen? It's a state of mind. It's not based on just raw physical sex. It's a state of mind in which you're just seeing the beauty of the other person and amplifying it and doing whatever you can to bring that out in the other person. And it brings it out in you. So there's where the romance is. You know, I see so many couples where the romance gets lost after a few years, and then we call it the 7-year itch, it used to be called, but now it's like a 3 or 4-year itch that people kind of get bored and start seeking other kind of relationships and connection. You know, it doesn't mean you're only relate to that one other person, but the romantic quality to it is something you need to work at. Okay. And it has value, but it, you know, except for the first year or two, it doesn't come so it comes naturally, but you don't have to work at it initially. But then over time you do. And what you're working at, what I mean by that, is you're actually creating romance in the relationship. It's really easy in the first year when everybody's kind of in the honeymoon phase, but creating romance in the relationship is very important, and it's something like many, many, many people, I'm going to say forget to do, don't do it, and aren't trained to do it, aren't thinking about it. And for a sustainable relationship, there needs to be an effort to keep creating romance. And that is always a creating of love in the relationship. Now, what are the components? Again, you have that physical connection, you have that soul connection, you have an intellectual connection, you have a cultural connection, you have a lifestyle connection, and, you know, a meaning and purpose connection, and as I say, life purpose connection. It's a little different than purpose connection. And you're there in the complementariness to uplift each other. So I've also seen a variety of people say, well, we can do triads and polygamy, but it doesn't really work. I'm not saying it never works, but I've worked with a lot of people over the last 50 years, and generally speaking, it doesn't work out. It doesn't have the highest level of outcome, even though people theoretically says it works, and it may work for a year or two, but there's something that seems not to be lasting. So what I've seen just in practical experience is, you know, two people, monogamy is what best works. Now, if you're not interested in intimacy, which monogamy creates the stage for, then that's a different story. But the point of intimacy is to grow spiritually, is to take a risk, to trust someone. For many people, trusting another human is really a big deal because of the way they're brought up and the lack of trust in the relationship with parents and multiple factors. So part of relationship is healing your family of origin, but also healing your scars from your family of origin, healing the intimacy process. So these are all components that are important for a healthy relationship. So be your authentic self. Align with somebody you're already aligned with. One of the principles is, when we get together, I'll change him or I'll change her. No. It's as is. The person has to be good as they are for you in the moment. Because thinking to get together with somebody and then changing, again, that doesn't work so well in the long run. So these are some hints. It's a little bit more complicated than what I'm talking about, but you've got the general broad strokes of the foundations of a healthy relationship. So may everybody be blessed with this. Grandfather, father, brother, sister, advice for you. And so I'm going to open up for Richard if he has anything he wants to say here.
Yeah, you brought up enough as usual, Gabriel, that we could talk about for months or longer.
Yes, yes, yes.
I think it's really important stuff. And what it really, you know, you mentioned awareness of yourself, self-knowledge, clarity of awareness of who you are, being your authentic self. Well, those are all true, but they represent a really deep reality that comes from a level really beyond the words. And the challenge in relationships that I've seen is really an outgrowth of the lack of self-knowledge. because if you know who you are and you're coming from there, then your relationships reflect that. And it could almost be said in this 3D realm that we're in that looks so solid, that in a deeper way, it's a projection of consciousness, which actually empowers any individual who's willing to take that on, because we realize that to a great extent, maybe 100%, although that's counterintuitive, what we experience as reality is what we're projecting. And the challenge of existence in this realm is like going into a country with a dense fog where you can't even see your own hand in front of your face. And you're supposed to be aware of your environment without being able to see anything clearly. It's all distortion. And the distortion is coming from the nature of existing in a physical form. You know, you mentioned the challenge of what to do with sexuality in a relationship. That's a really huge challenge, because the way that nature is set up in this projection is it doesn't care much for the individual. It cares for the race and the species. And it does everything to protect and proliferate the species. And in the biological programming that reflects in humans, there's this overwhelming drive for procreation. And it apparently was put in so that the species doesn't disappear. But to deal with that when you're something else, taking that on is, you know, for kids and teenagers and kids of all ages, even adults, who do you go to that's going to teach about that? Because everybody's working through distortion. Where every single person, including us teachers, are working through mental programming and the five senses and our own experience. And so realizing this creates a natural humility, and all we can do is say, this is what we've seen so far. But the guidance would be, if you want good relationships, it's going to depend on the quality of relationship with yourself. Otherwise, you're going to be trying to fill the deficiencies by demanding them from another person. They're not going to like it, and you're going to be disappointed. So the more sovereign, as you say, you can be, the more self-sufficient and integrated within yourself from where you came from, your quality of relationships is going to reflect that. And without that, no matter how much romance you try to put in, it's going to have a big deficiency. It's going to show one way or another. So it comes back to working with yourself. And you said ultimate purpose is to know yourself and to know God. And I totally agree. And it seems like a paradox, because much of the destruction between people in the world right now is over God and religion and belief. Each side believing that they're the ones that are right, and the other ones have to be killed. And there's a difference between knowing a belief and knowing the reality behind the belief. And when integrating with that reality instead of the belief produces a whole different result. Kindness toward everybody, unconditional universal love, and a sense of inner stability and peace. And kids can get that too. You don't have to be old. So it comes back to self-knowledge. And any advice you can give teenagers of all ages of how to know yourself, that would be helpful, because otherwise they say, well, Dr. Cousin said to be yourself, but let's see, who's myself? All I've got is all these impressions. So what do you do with that? I mean, I know that's a big topic.
Right. So knowing yourself is really important. It's key. Did I interrupt or did you finish?
No, I just think that your whole thing centered around, if you know, the more you know yourself and you be your authentic self, the better your relationships are going to be. And I completely agree.
Right.
But you know, how do you do that when you know you're this brilliant spirit? You come from the reality of God way before beliefs ever started. And you're still that now, and you'll be that after this lifetime is finished. So the whole trick is, how do you get in touch with that so that you're living it now while you're here in the physical form in the middle of this fog? And that's important for kids to, it's probably the most important teaching for kids as well as all of us.
So part of what happens in a healthy relationship is that you are able to be a mirror for the other person. And they are being able to be a mirror for you, so you actually can have accelerated growth. Now, this is something in contrast to when I lived in India, the whole idea was everybody should be in a cave. You know, that interactions were not as spiritually productive. But in the West, it's a little different, because in the relationship, I'm called, the West is more tantric in that way, not in terms of tantric practices, which is a whole other thing, but tantric in a way you're interfacing with the other person, and that interface helps you begin to see your face. Maybe that's why they call it interfacing. And you and your interaction helps the other person to see their face. So you're reflecting with each other, and there's a lot of growth from that, because the other person is mirroring you and you're mirroring them, and you're actually getting this reflection back so you can grow spiritually. So I see relationship as actually a spiritual path. Yeah. That's very powerful because it's right in front of you. It's facing, interfacing, seeing your face, seeing their face. Now, and all that produces a lot of spiritual growth, if you wanted to, if you're open to that. You're going to say something.
That's a common value or goal or purpose, then yeah, it can be incredible. Because what you're not willing to look at, and you need to, the other person can bring up and will bring up one way or another.
Right. So that's part of the beauty of relationships, is you're in a position to stimulate and awaken the other person just by your very being.
Right, so you really need a commitment to honesty and growth, and when the other person brings up something that you didn't want to look at, the response is thank you, instead of fighting about it, and then be willing to be open to it.
That is the part of the integrity and responsibility in a relationship, is to use it to grow spiritually. You know, that's just valid in itself. It isn't just to feel loved or being taken care of, but it's like, this is, we're coming together to grow spiritually. And that becomes a primary part of the relationship.
Right. And if it's a relationship that you're really valuing, which is what you're talking about, then you don't, you know, there's so many distortions, as I said, that we're looking through, one of which is time. And you realize that the time that you've got together in the physical body is basically 5 minutes. And it's a chance to solidify the deeper roots of the relationship so that it goes on far beyond the physical form. That might sound totally, you know, out of reality, but you get near the end of your life and you realize, oh, wait a minute, it was 5 minutes.
Well, in the incarnation way of understanding, people often keep reincarnating together as part of their spiritual growth over many lifetimes. So depending what system you're in, that's a kind of a reality.
Right. Yeah, the system may or may not recognize it, but outside of beliefs, people have noticed and verified that that's actually the case, and I've seen it.
Yeah. So we're all part of the play, and this is, you know, one scene in the play as we evolve spirit.
Right. Value your time.
Right. So I think we've covered, you know, is there more you would like to add to this?
You know, we talk about young kids and teenagers and how it's difficult to get in touch with your authentic self as a kid and to negotiate through an insane world and all that in a way that is really true at a deeper level. All there is here is kids, and their bodies are being changed so that the appearance gets morphed into something different. But compared to the reality that we need to know, we're all dealing with this as children of different ages. And the point is to help each other. And if you want to help each other, help yourself, because the degree that you love yourself determines what you can give to everybody else.
I think the whole relationship kind of consciousness is a tremendous gift from the divine to help us grow spiritually as almost as a primary, and then all the secondary benefits, you know, survival of the species and so forth. But the big bottom line of it is growing spiritually, and people come together over lifetimes to keep growing spiritually and working out things. You didn't get it the first lifetime together, and then you get the second or third lifetime. And those are one of the advantages in the sense of relationship, is that they usually, let's say, cover many lifetimes of evolution, and appreciating it that way, I think, is another insight. That we're here, we're put together, there's a reason for this, and we need to take advantage of that reason to grow spiritually.
Yeah, I completely agree. And success is guaranteed in the end. It's just a question of what you have to go through to get to that point.
Right. So I bless everybody that we're able to have the spiritual strength, be in relationship for what we can give to the other person, but and also what we can do to help ourselves grow spiritually in the process. So blessings to everyone. Oh.
Thank you, Dr. Kress. It's incredible.
Thank you, Richard. Good.
I'm really grateful to have been able to spend a few minutes with you guys, and thanks for all the support and emails and expressions of love that I'm receiving too. I've been going through some things and hope to get through it to the other side so I can be back on video with you soon. But in the meantime, what Dr. Cousins is talking about is really critical. This is a very challenging time in the world with darkness seeming to be in charge, but the hidden power to that on the other side is inside you. And what you access there determines the quality of relationships as well. So you don't have to be an older person to be focused on that. If kids are reminded of who they actually are, that is beyond any age, age is only superficial, then that can start developing very quickly. And it can be done any time. I would recommend doing it right now, because if you put it off, time tends to go by, and then you realize the opportunities have not been used. So not to feel bad about times that we haven't used well before, but to do it now, and to do the best we can. And remember, all of Dr. Cousins' programs are at treeoflife.mn.co and Cousins.com, and I have been waiting to continue interviews that I hope will recommence in the near future. But in the meantime, we're still maintaining our weekly meetings for consciousness at Planetary Healing Club at planetaryhealingclub.com, and that will continue, God willing, as long as we can. And that's for the purpose of exactly what Dr. Cousins is talking about, knowing yourself and reconnecting back to the source you came from, the people called God. So I really appreciate all of you very much, and hope that you have a wonderful week between now and when we see you again. And we'll look forward to the next meeting. Take care. See you soon.